Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 47, a continuation of our lives being explained to us through the scriptures. I'll start by reading. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, I will not meet you as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people, I have polluted my inheritance, and given them into your hand. Thou didst show them no mercy, upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid your yoke. And you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to your heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear this now this, that thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that says in your heart, I am and none else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thy enchantments. For you have trusted in your wickedness. Thou hast said, none sees me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it has perverted you. And you have said in your heart, I am and none else besides me. Therefore shall evil come upon you. Thou shalt not know from whence it rises, and mischief shall fall upon you. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of their counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor a fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be to you with whom thou hast labored, even your merchants. From your youth they shall wander every one to his quarter, and none shall save you. That sounds pretty... What would I say? That sounds pretty negative, doesn't it? But what does negative do to you?
Changes you.
Don't be upset about that. I'm going to, at times, read out of Isaiah, out of the NAS a few times, a few passages. So just give me a second here and I'll be ready. Okay, there it is. Okay, back to the first verse again. Come down, literally descend. Where did we start? We started in heaven. We started in God, didn't we? Didn't Jesus come down from above and sit in the earth with us in the dust? Okay, he's talking about us. And we did come down and sit in that dust. The dust there, the root of that word dust right there, literally means the home of dust. Okay, that was our home in the dust here. We think that's our home. We think we came from Adam. That's what the religious world has taught us, isn't it? We didn't come from Adam, we came from God. Remember in James where he said, look into the mirror and see your Genesis face, your beginning face? Your beginning face or Genesis face was in God. My first identity, my first face was in God, not in Adam. Adam was an expression of the heavenly, just an expression. He said, O virgin daughter of Babylon. What does Babylon mean?
Religious confusion.
And he said, sit on the ground earlier. Sit in the ground. Sit in the earth. Where are we at right now? We're on the earth, but we're in earth right now in this body. See, inside of us is the spirit that's inside of this earth vessel we're walking in. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were considered the wisest in the land. And you know, the Adamic nature is to think that we're wiser than everyone else, isn't it? We think we know more than everybody else. And whether we are wise or not, if we think that and portray that to somebody, it shows me we're really not very wise to show that. Because you shall no more be called tender and delicate. He said, even though you are, when you come to this earth realm, you've lost your identity. Didn't Jesus say he laid down all of his deity and became as a man? Right? And that's what we have done. God has put us in this place to learn, not just to be given something to us, but to learn who we are. Once you learn who you are, can anyone take that from you?
They certainly try.
They certainly try, but they can't do it. The only one that can give it up is you. And once you know it, you won't give it up. It says, take the millstone and grind meal. Do you know who did the meal grinding? Beg pardon?
Women.
The women, the concubines. That was a concubine's job, you know. One who really didn't have a relationship to grind the meal. And grinding the meal represents also what? Working out the word. See? Uncover or remove, it says uncover thy locks. Literally it says remove the veil. We know now in the new covenant that the veil was rent from top to bottom. See? It's all revealed. And what are we talking about revealing here? What's right here? Where your locks are, or mine was. Your mind. See? Reveal that mind. Make bare the leg, or strip off, that says make bare the leg, don't even cover it. Should say remove the train. Strip off the train. The royalty, you expose yourself, take off that royalty you have. You no longer have an identity of royalty when you come to the earth. We're all one, aren't we? We're all equal. Uncover the thigh, or literally reveal the thigh. What's the thigh represent?
Strength.
Well, no, thigh represents reproduction. This area here, your groin area, this is considered your thigh. So it speaks of your ability to reproduce. Pass over the river. What river are we talking about?
Jordan.
The Jordan River, death, you know. Come from the death realm, the worldly realm, to the spiritual realm. Your nakedness, and that word nakedness can have multiple meanings. It can speak of disgrace, or it can speak when someone is naked, stripped naked, they're disgraced or embarrassed. But it also speaks of your blemishes. He said, so your, literally it shouldn't say naked, it said your blemishes shall be what? Uncovered, revealed, exposed. So everything is wrong. He says, when he strips it off, when he strips off your disgrace. And see, when I'm in disgrace, I'm hiding things. When I have shame, I hide. The first nature of anybody, if they're in shame, what do? They cover up where you can't see. And he said, it's all going to be, when you uncover all that shame and get rid of that shame, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see who you really are. And it's not something to be ashamed of, is it? It's your true identity in Christ. And it says, and your shame or your disgrace shall be seen. It will be revealed. I will take vengeance, and I will not encounter you as Adam. I will not encounter you as Adam. Did God punish Adam in any way? No, he punished himself. Verse 4, he goes on and says, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of the masses, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the masses is his name, the Holy One of Israel, he says, sit thou silently, not silent, but silently, and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. You wise ones to think you know so much. Because you shall no more be called the Queen of Kingdoms, or the King of Rule, the Queen of the Rule and Realm. So you're not going to be the one in control. You think you was. There's a whole bunch of people that think they're in control, but they're not. As long as I think I'm in control, I'm in trouble. When I realize that I'm not my own, I was bought with a price, like everyone else, then that makes me not in control. If someone owns me, how could I be in control? That's an oxymoron. He said, I was wroth, and the word wroth, I don't even like it, like King James language or something. It literally says, I was displeased with my people. displeased is a better word, I think. I have polluted or made common mine inheritance and given them into your hand, and you did show them no compassion. Upon the ancient or the old you have very heavily laid your yoke. He was talking about people that didn't have any consideration for anybody else. No compassion, no caring whether someone young or old. In the old days when they were coming out of Egypt, they always told them to be careful about the young and the old, didn't they? Don't leave anybody behind. Don't keep moving so fast that you forget everybody else. And there's a lot of people in our growth in God, we forget that as we grow, that our compassion should grow also, that we encompass and go back and make sure we don't run out and leave everyone else behind us. We don't leave the young ones. We don't leave the old ones. We get them all. Okay? And you said, I shall be queen forever. You did us not lay these things to your heart, or what? You didn't put them in your mind. You didn't believe them. You just said them and went on. Neither did you remember the end. Now, that creates a question in me. How can you remember the end if you haven't been there? It'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? So why would he say, how can he say this if we haven't already been there? He said, neither did you remember the end. He told you before the foundation of the world, didn't he? He told us all these things, but we didn't remember. So we take it to ourselves, and our cherubim run around our mind and make up and fill in blanks that we don't understand. Rather than waiting upon God, we just run out and fill it up the quick way and go ahead and get it done. Don't work. So that word remember kicked out to me. How can I remember if I haven't been there? If I hadn't already known it? You have to know something before you can re it. Right? I can't paint that wall, repaint that wall until it's been painted once.
Don't you think he's actually speaking to the soul here and has the conception of the soul and the spirit? That's what he's trying to remind them.
Well, I'd say he's speaking to spirit.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. He's trying to tell. Yeah. To me, it's just saying, you're done for. The carnal mind, yeah. You're done away with.
Yeah, the soulish side of it's all gone. It's going to be done away with, and you don't believe it. See, people don't understand those words, soul and spirit, and they try to put God in a box, and this word means this, and this means that, not realizing that God can speak any way he wants to, and anything he wants to, because he's the one that sets the rules. We don't set the rules. But man tries to do that so they can control God. And if God says spirit or soul, that's what he means. He can use either word, because both of them are interchangeable in Greek. Anyway, verse 8, he goes on and says, therefore, that word therefore isn't there. But this is all speaking about the ego now. He's talking about ego, which is the same as the soul as we've been talking about in the first seven verses. He says, hear, shama. Hear intelligent with the intent to respond positively to this. You that are given to pleasures. If you're given to pleasure, if that's what life's all about, pleasure, you should be listening to this one. That dwells or abides or remains careless. So when we're living in for pleasure only, we're living carelessly. Wouldn't you agree? That says in your heart or your mind, I am and none else besides me. It's all about me. I, me, my, or mine. That says in your mind, I am them and none else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Saying, nothing bad going to happen to me. There's nothing grievous going to happen to them. Nothing. That's what they say. Because I'm a child of God, nothing happens to me. And believe me, I have known people that said that very thing. I go to church, I've been saved, and nothing should happen wrong to me. Why are these things happening to me? Of course, they were all attributed to some devil with the horns on his head. You know, all they had to do was look in the mirror, and that was a problem. And I've had that same discussion with several people, and they just couldn't understand how anything could happen bad once they got in church. I said, you can't be refined until you've been dug out of the earth and put into the fire, and the church is the fire. That system is the fire that starts to change you. So it doesn't start till then, does it? Anyway, they don't want to hear it, but that's okay. But he says, okay, the loss of children. which is speaking of bereavement. Anything you lose that means something to you bereaves you, doesn't it? If you really care about it and somebody takes it away from you, it's a bereavement. But these two things shall come upon you in a moment, in one day. Well, I don't think it's necessarily talking about everything's going to happen to you one day and it's over with. That's not what he's talking about. In one day. What is today? The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is what day? Every day. It's every day. So in the Lord's day, these things are going to come upon you. It doesn't mean it's all going to happen all at one time, right now. The loss of children, or the bereavement of your children, your husband, that's what it literally says. You're going to lose your children and your husband in the same day. They shall come upon you in their perfection or their completeness for the multitude of your sorceries. There's a reason why those things must come upon you. Jesus said offenses must come. There's a reason why these things, these grievous things come out, these bereavements happen, because we have made idols out of them. See? We can't have anything before God. He said, I'm a jealous God. I'll have no other gods before me. Nothing that I think about in this world can be more important than my relationship with God. That's for everybody. And if he's number one, I guarantee you, your stress level will be way down. You'll be a whole lot better off. Won't have all the struggles everybody else has. Because most people walk around the desert for 40 years. You don't have to make it. Jesus made it in 40 days. Now, somewhere between 40 days and 40 years is where you're going to be. So take whichever route you want, the high road or the low road. I'm going to take the high road. I think it's a little shorter than the other one. Okay. But for the multitude of your sorceries, let me read that in the NAS. I think it says it very well. Okay. But these two things shall come upon you suddenly in one day. Loss of children and widowhood shall come upon you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries, in spite of the great power of your spells. No matter what you try to do, is it going to change anything? God's going to get what he wants out of you, and all he wants out of you is what's not good. He wants to bring the positive in your life. Verse 10 goes on, says, because you have trusted in your wickedness, thou hast said, none sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, it has perverted you. And you have said in your heart or your mind, I am and none else but me. What perverts you? What did he just say right there? Your wisdom and your knowledge. The natural wisdom, natural knowledge. Even Paul, when he was given such great revelation in the New Testament, he said he was given a thorn in the flesh, wasn't he? And it tells you why, and I think I know why. Because of the abundance of your revelation. When you have an abundance of understanding, what can you walk into very easily?
Peace.
What?
Peace.
Pride.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pride. Okay. Pride is very easy to step into pride, which is not a good thing. And that was always right there with Paul, because he was a very intelligent man. And he could have, had God not decided to use him the way he did, he could have walked as a Pharisee the rest of his life, couldn't he?
I was thinking having the full revelation.
Okay.
Walking.
Peace, you're right, yeah. But we're talking about in the negative aspect here, that you know you can get in that pride because you think you know so much. Well, when you walk into pride, I'm going to tell you, the door of revelation is shut. You know, that flow is shut off in that conduit, I guarantee you. He's not going to give you any more. And that was always there to buffet Paul, so he couldn't keep going back to the pride that he walked in prior to Christ taking over his life. Okay? That was 10, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 11, it says, therefore shall evil come upon you. You shall not know from whence it rises. Surprise! You don't know where it's coming from, do you? I can tell you where, right between your ears. Every evil thing comes out of the mouth of man, which comes from the mind. Every evil thought comes from the heart of man. From whence it rises. And mischief or ruin shall fall upon you. You shall not be able to cover it over, it should say. Put it off or cover it over. And desolation or devastation shall come upon you instantly, which you shall not know. There's going to be things you won't know how to handle. You'll have no clue. And they'll be exactly what you need. I said for years, when we built this building we're sitting in, we had somebody come in and measure the windows and build those custom curtains put in here. Okay? And I said, you know, the same way when God sets you in His house, He has a custom walk for you, and you're going to walk it whether you like it or not. And when you come out the other side, you'll produce the fruit that He wants in your life, won't He? God's in control. And everyone, that's why everyone's not the same. We can't rubber stamp everybody. Everybody's got a little different situation. So I can't say, well, I understand everything about your life. That's insane. I'm not living your life. I can't, can I? But I can understand and relate to part of it and help you in it. That's the best I can do. I can drop the breadcrumbs and let you follow the trail, and you and God's going to work it out. That's the way it's supposed to be. It'll be okay. Be anxious for nothing. It's going to be okay. Okay. Verse 12. Stand now with your enchantments and with the multitude of your sorceries, wherein you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you shall be able to profit, or perhaps you may prevail. Let me read that one out of the NAS. Perhaps. That's not a good solid ground to stand on, is it? A perhaps, maybe? Okay. Stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries, which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may cause trembling. Maybe you can do some things. Who knows? Any guarantees in that, perhaps? I don't think so.
Kind of like God is dirty hearing. Do you feel lucky?
Huh?
God is dirty hearing.
Yep.
Do you feel lucky?
Do you feel lucky? No. Oh, goodness. Verse 13. You are wearied in the multitude of your counselors. Everybody tells you what to do. I mean, at what point in your life, and all of us have been here in this room, I guarantee you, all the adults, have come to a place where we're sick and tired of someone telling us what to do. We're sick and tired of someone telling, do this or don't do that, aren't you? Everybody comes to that place. When you come to that place, that's a good thing. It's a good thing when you come to the end, because now God's going to begin to deal with you. Now you're going to begin to search out the truth in what God really wants in your life, not what somebody else says God wants in your life. That's what I had a real problem with the prophecies of the Pentecostal realm. Lives were so totally destroyed. People just walked in and said, hey, God told me, you're not supposed to be married to Terry. You're supposed to be married to Lisa. And these people just divorced and go over and marry the other person. Yeah. But see, it was already in their hearts, so they wouldn't have done it. Their minds was already gone anyway, or they wouldn't have done it. But see, prophecies is to be heard from God first. And then someone come along and say, a prophecy to you, it's a witness to you that person didn't know anything about, that God already spoke to you, see. That's how a prophecy should come to you, not just someone giving you some new thing.
You say that's not a cult.
Yeah, right. Okay? But you're wearied of the councils. Let now the astrologers, okay, and those are, that word actually means the readers of the sky, the ones that look to the stars and tell you what's going on in life. Give me a break.
You know, horoscopes.
It is. The next word, stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and deliver you from these things that shall come upon you. So now let them stand up and take care of you. Are they going to do it? No. When it gets out of their hands, they'll say, well, hey, I tried. They're going to walk away and leave you hanging. You got to learn to draw upon the power that God has placed within you. Not upon your preacher, not upon some board, or not on some denomination. It's got to come from within you. You got to know this. It doesn't mean you don't get together in fellowship. It just means that you know who you are. And you know that God can answer everything you need.
Well, the fellowship kind of just shows one to the other that, hey, I'm not the only one in this boat.
That's right. We're not the only ones in the boat. But there's not very many in the boat. Just not very many. Huh?
I was just thinking.
Okay. Okay. Now he's talking about the prognosticators. Behold, they shall be as stubble, and the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal or an ember to warm oneself, nor fire to sit before. So it said, when you need the heat, it's not going to be there. There's no source of energy, no power, there's no nothing. You know how long it takes the straw to burn up? Whoof, it's gone. Just a flash. And that's all the religious system that man has devised gives you. Just whoof, a little flash, a little emotion, and you're right back in the same place. I met a man in jail one time in jail ministries years ago, and he said to me, he said, can you tell me something? I said, well, I can tell you something. I don't know if it's what you want to hear or not, but you know, what do you want to hear? He said, tell me why when I go to church, I go in there feeling like hell. And I come out feeling pretty good while I'm there, and time I get back out on the sidewalk, I feel like hell again. I says, because they were playing with your emotions. They just that whoosh, that flash, give you a little flash. It doesn't last. And that's exactly what they do. They don't go to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is not what you did or don't do. It's your thinking process. See, it's like a doctor treating your symptoms. You go to a doctor, and he's supposed to be the wise guy. He says, how do you feel? I don't know. You tell me. You're the doctor. You know? And they think you're being a smart aleck. No, I'm paying you to tell me what's wrong with me. You come in there and ask me to tell you what's wrong with me so you can charge me for telling you what's wrong with me. It don't make sense to me. He should be telling me. He's supposed to be the smart guy. But what do I know, right? Okay, I don't know anything. And in this last verse he says, thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored, even the merchants from your youth, they shall wander every one to his quarters. And that word quarter is a place across Jordan. Hello? They're all going where?
Death.
All die, right? And that's a good thing. You could look at that in another way, of not just being talking about the natural people, but talking about the carnality, the thought processes that we have. Okay? They're going to cross Jordan. When they cross Jordan, what do? They die. See? So it's death to all carnality. That's a good thing. And none shall what? Deliver. None shall deliver you. See? None of those thought processes from the carnal mind can deliver you. None of those thought processes from religious, whatever you want to call it. None of those thought processes that began in the mind of a man, not in the heart of God or the mind of God, can do anything to help you. It's just that whoof, that little flash, and it's gone. Get your emotions puffed up for a minute. And your body can't sustain itself on that emotional high without adrenaline pumping. If it stays at it very long, it's going to kill you. Your body cannot sustain all that pumping of that adrenaline. It's like a drug, and too much of it will kill you.
Just like you said that,
it
says it's trafficked when you're stating
you're
a child. Yep. That's how it speaks out and says, well, I've only been this way.
Yeah. That's my comfortable path. Don't want to get out of my rut I've been in, you know.
I just want to sit and complain about it.
I want to be comfortable and complain about it. And that's something I've told people for years. I will listen to anyone who has something to say. I mean, if they got to discuss something, express something, I'll be your sounding board. But when you come back the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 28th, 35th, 99th time, I'm going to say, shut up. I don't want to hear it. If you don't want to change it or do anything about it, I don't want to hear it anymore. I've already heard it. Can I tell you what your problem is? Hey, you don't want to deal with it. And you know, we all know people like that always, always complain. And it's not to be upset with them, it's just say, I don't need it anymore. I can't help you because you won't listen. You can't talk to a blind, deaf man and show him anything, can you? Or tell him anything.